spectator lost his leg while watching the implosion of a decommissioned PG&E plant Saturday morning, and at least four people were injured, according to authorities. The 44-year-old man, whose name has not yet been released, was gathered along with about 1,000 other spectators to watch the planned demolition of the Pacific Gas and Electric plant in Bakersfield, California, Saturday morning.
Okay.
This was controlled. It was going down. Mm-hmm. People wanted to see a building blow up.
Well, what happened?
The man lost one leg and received major injuries to the other after shrapnel from the plant explosion flew across the street and struck his lower body. An officer heard the man screaming for help after several plant structures came down.
Wow.
But this is a controlled explosion.
Yeah.
But they couldn't control where the shrapnel was going to go. Come on. Hmm. I know it's cool to see buildings blow up. I enjoy that.
Maybe
but
on
I don't
video,
know
but not in person, do you?
That I want to get that
close. Yeah, within a block?
That seems nuts. The man sustained an apparent complete amputation of one leg and the possible amputation of the second leg. That, according to Bakersfield Police Lieutenant Scott Tunnicliffe, telling NBC News affiliate KGET, at least two other people received minor injuries that were treated on the scene. Well, maybe we just stop letting spectators watch this
stuff. That might be a good point.
Is it worth the loss of legs?
Were they unaware that there could were there something that could cause shrapnel from the explosion?
I'm sure they were told.
A lot of times you raise the building and go straight down, but there's always that point that they would go, you know, I'm not an expert in this field, but you would think there could be something going on in other directions.
But you had 1,000 people watching this planned demolition. They were in an area where it was thought to be
supposedly safe, yeah.
Yes. I mean, it wasn't just, hey, we showed up and we're 10 feet from a building that's going to be blown up. They were kept at a distance that was deemed safe with this planned demolition. But things didn't go according to plan.
Obviously, right.
And anytime you have something that's going to explode, how can you predict 100% certainty
specifically,
that things aren't going to fly in a certain direction?
I agree with you.
You can't.
Yeah. That's why it just seems like if they were a block away, it could travel at least that far. So I'm surprised they were able to be that close.
We move from an explosion to a crash. A U.S. military helicopter crashed at an American airbase on the southern island of Okinawa, Japanese and U.S. officials announced today. A rescue helicopter crashed in a training area, Camp Hansen, with four crew members on board, the U.S. Air Force said in a statement. The status of the crew members, unknown, the statement from the U.S. Air Force said. Now, the helicopter belongs to Okinawa's Kadena Air Base, was on an unspecified training mission, the statement said. It said the cause of the crash, not yet known. The defense minister told reporters that he was told that three of the four crew members on board survived, with a fourth person missing. He said no other details, including the condition of the crew members, are immediately known. But we're dealing with that story and following that this morning for you as well. This story from Politico.com, New Jersey Governor Chris Christie is the hottest political figure in the country.
That doesn't surprise me. Okay.
That's according to a new temperature poll. I didn't know we took temperature polls.
We have temperature polls?
Voters were asked to give politicians a number from 0 to 100 representing how they feel about the figure, with 0 being least favorable or coldest, and 100 being the most favorable or fire hot.
Ooh, how hot is he?
In the new Quinnipiac survey, which is released today, Christie's mean score was 53.1, topping the heap.
And that's the hottest of the hot?
I guess.
Wow.
That's pretty lukewarm.
I'd wear at least a sweater at 53.
0 to 100, 50 would be lukewarm,
yeah,
correct?
That's what I would think.
Or room temp?
Or at least room temp.
He's 53.1. Former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton was in a close second at 52.1 degrees. Third was Senator Elizabeth Warren, 49.2 degrees, although 51% of voters did not know enough about her to actually make a judgment.
Okay.
President Barack Obama was fourth at 47.6 degrees. Christie's next possible 2016 GOP challengers on the list, Senator Ted Cruz and Senator Marco Rubio, both came in the 46-degree range.
Mm.
So they are way behind.
A little frosty, I'd say.
At the bottom of the list were the four congressional leaders. House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi, 38.4. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, 37.5. And House Speaker John Boehner at 36.7. And in last place,
it's got to be Harry Reid.
Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid, 33.8 degrees.
He's frigid.
But he's not freezing.
Oh, that's true. He's just above the freezing.
None of these candidates are below freezing.
Well, that's good. They're still
so there's
breathing.
Hope. They still have a pulse.
Wow.
Their blood is still flowing. You drop below freezing, you might be done. So there you go. Chris Christie, tops of the heap, 53.1 degrees.
And I thought he would do a little bit better. I'm not surprised in the lead, though, because he's one of the few candidates that basically now has crossed political lines.
Yeah.
And both Democrats and Republicans like him.
Earlier this morning, we talked about Bradley Manning. His sentencing hearing will get underway this morning. It continues into its second week. Well, in a rare interview, the British mother of Bradley Manning has urged her son not to give up hope, even as he faces up to 136 years in prison. In comments published by the Mail yesterday, Susan Manning said she said he should know she considered him her Superman.
Wow. She's his mom.
A superhero.
Yeah.
Listen, we can't lock up Superman. Right? First of all, he's going to get out
whenever he chooses to. The bars are made of kryptonite.
Never give up hope, son, she was quoted as saying. I know I may never see you again, but I know you'll be free one day. I pray it is soon.
Does she know the facts?
Right. He's facing 136 years.
Right.
That's not soon.
Even if they decline that a little bit, I don't think that reduction's going to get him out during his lifetime.
Susan Manning had not given an interview in years, and maybe this is why.
Okay, could be.
Because she's not really paying attention to much. 7:23 with Mike and Matt.
WTAQ News, Talk, Sports.
Talking weather, cloudy today with showers and thunderstorms possible. We got a 70% chance of rain, so I think it's pretty likely. Kind of a cool day as well. High of just 67 tonight. Cloudy with scattered showers. We're going to dip down to 62 tomorrow. Could have a little rain in the morning, otherwise partly sunny and warmer, 77. Wednesday, rain returns in the morning, but partly sunny in the afternoon. High of 75, still below the norm. Our normal high for this time of year, 79 degrees. It's 55 Valley, 56 Green Bay.
7:24 with Mike and Matt. Story from CNN.com. Social media is still howling after last week's perceived slight of 8th grader Thomas Hurley III and his misspelling of emancipation during Kids Week on Jeopardy. He knew the answer, but he spelled emancipation incorrectly.
So people were making fun of him?
When he wrote it down. No, people are upset that Jeopardy didn't count his answer.
Oh, is that what the problem was?
Yes.
Oh, because let's be honest, we're all pretty bad spellers.
That is true, especially in today's world.
Yeah, that's just it. You got spell check, you just go to that.
Teachers are dealing with what Jeopardy had to deal with last week for years.
Yeah, probably.
Okay, here is what went down on Jeopardy last week.
If you saw the movie Lincoln this year, it would have been a big help to you. Shuley, we come to you first. You were in third place with 6,400, and you wrote down as your response, what is the Second Amendment? No, sorry, that's going to cost you. How much? 3,200. You're down to 3,200. Let's go to Thomas Hurley now. He had 9,600, and he wrote down, what is the emancipation? Well, because he misspelled it badly. Emancipation. You put a P in there, proclamation. That's unfortunate. The judges are ruling against you, so it's costing you how much? 3,000. You drop down to 6,600. Now, as most of our viewers know.
So he spells it incorrectly.
Okay.
Although, Alex Trebek identified the wrong spelling error in the word emancipation.
Did he really?
He says, oh, you added a P in there.
Right.
No, no. The P is supposed to be there in emancipation.
I was about to say, why wouldn't they have a P? Yeah.
But he spelled it emancipation.
Oh,
P and then T.
Okay.
So he added a T, but whatever.
Okay.
So the kid gets it incorrect, loses $3,000, which he would have had with a correct spelling of the answer. The next kid gets Emancipation Proclamation, spells it correctly.
Okay.
He wagers $30,000 on top of his already $36,000.
Wow, this kid is smart.
So this kid makes $66,000, which is a record one day total in Kids Jeopardy.
I bet it is.
That should be the story.
Yeah.
Right? That you have this brilliant kid that just made $66,000 on Jeopardy. But no, it's all about this Thomas Hurley III getting screwed over by Jeopardy. Oh, come on. You knew what he meant, Jeopardy. But you didn't follow the rules. You spelled it wrong.
Because, I mean, is the rules then? It has to be spelled correctly?
And even if he spelled it correctly, he still got destroyed by the next contender.
Well, at best he would add $12,000.
The kid took second place no matter what and made $2,000 for taking second place. But everybody's freaking out over Jeopardy. If you want to see the rest of the video, it is posted at the ZView blog at WTAQ.com. Right. It's worth seeing Thomas's reaction when he realizes, oh, crap, I spelled it wrong.